The epistle reading for this fourth Sunday resumed after the Epiphany. We read St. Paul to the Romans, "Brethren, owe no man anything except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love does no evil to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is a fulfillment of the law. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Holy Gospel, which is appointed from St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus got into a boat, and his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was covered by the waves, but he was asleep. So his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But Jesus said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there came a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Praise be to you, O Christ. Please be seated. So we got an extra hour of sleep. So no one is going to sleep during this sermon. You're familiar with the prophetic dreams of St. John Bosco, who used to talk about his dreams, and they were recorded by his fellow priests. This particular one that I'm going to bring to your consideration and our meditation on this Sunday morning has been narrated at during the month of May 1862 by this saint. It's recorded in the documents of the Salesian Foundations. This is a prophetic dream called the Two Columns in the Sea. The Two Columns. That symbolizes a great battle between the church and her enemies. The dream is as follows. St. John Bosco said, imagine to be with me on the seashore, just on an isolated rock, and not to see any patch of land other than what is under your feet. You see on the whole of that vast sheet of water an innumerable fleet of ships in battle. The ships are armed with cannons, other arms of all kinds, and also with books. And they advance towards a ship which is much larger and higher than themselves. And they try to dash it with anything available to burn it or to do any possible harm. That majestic big ship is escorted by many, many smaller ships, which receives commands by signal from it and carry out movements to defend themselves from the opposing fleet. Two columns. St. John Bosco also saw in the midst of the sea two large columns of great height, a little distance the one from the other. One on the top, there is a large statue of the Immaculate Virgin, and at the feet there is an inscription which says, Help of Christians. And on the other one, on the other side, there is a much bigger column on which there is a large host that says underneath the words, Salvation of the Faithful. The Pope. The supreme commander in the big ship is the Pope. There is a battle with all the weapons available that the enemies use to stop and sink the big ship. The enemies in the small boats attack with writings and books, inflammable materials of which they are full, others with guns and rifles. Sometimes it happens that, struck by blows, it gets deep gaps in the sides. But no sooner the harm is done than a gentle breeze blows from the two columns and the cracks close up and the gaps stopped immediately. The battle and the conclave. The battle in the small ships continue. The frenzied enemies strive to fight hand to hand in the big ship, with fists, with blows, with blasphemies, and with curses. All at once the Pope falls gravely ill, gravely wounded. He dies. However, the pilots, having met together, have elected the Pope so promptly that the news of the death of the Pope coincides with the election of his new successor. The adversaries then commence to lose courage. A new Pope. He guides the ship right up to the two columns and comes to rest between them. He makes it fast with a light chain that hangs from the bow to an anchor of the column on which stands the hosts. And with another light chain, which hangs from the stern, he fastens it at the opposite end to another anchor, hanging from the column on which stands the Blessed Virgin Mary. Rout of the enemy. A great convulsion takes place. The enemies are scattered. The small ships that were fighting for the Pope finally sail to those columns. Having reached them, they make themselves fast to the hooks hanging down from them, and they remain safe. They are then together with the principal ship on which is the Pope. St. John Bosco then would explain the dream to his fellow priests. The Pope's ship obviously means the church, of which he is the head. The ships means the man, the sea, this world. Those who defend the big ship are the good lovingly attached to the bark of the Pope. The other small ships are the enemies who by every means try to attack the ship, from without and from within. And St. John Bosco explained that those attacks are the persecutions that the church, he said at that time, near will suffer in the future. The persecutions. The two columns of salvation, amidst the confusion and trials that the saint predicted to be near at hand, symbolize devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary and most holy frequent communion. There are pictures of this dream that probably will explain, if you have visual knowledge, in a better way what I'm saying. It's a beautiful dream, and St. John Bosco is observing that, so you can see that, check that back home, of this dream of St. John Bosco. And behold, a great tempest arose in the sea. If we go back to the gospel, the church then is that big ship in the midst of the fear caused by the waves. And we see then two reactions if we go back to the gospel. One of the disciples and the other one from our Lord. The disciples were panicking and they overreacted, as if they were the ones in charge. And then we see the action of Christ, which by means of this miracle clearly points out that he is the one who founded the church and he is one in command of the ship. Pope Benedict XVI had something to say about this particular gospel. He points out about this action of Christ commanding the winds and the sea. He says, that solemn gesture of calming the stormy sea was a clear sign of Christ's lordship over negative powers and induces one to think of his divinity. Who then is this, his own disciples ask fearfully, that even the wind and the sea obey him? The faith of the apostles is not yet firm. It is being formed. It is a mingling of fear and trust. But on the other hand, we have our Lord, confident and trusting abandonment to the Father, which is total, which is pure. This is why he could sleep during the storm, completely safe in God's arms. Consequently, for us, we need to have supernatural hope. When we say that we need to have hope, it's not to be like the apostles who were rapidly dominated by fear and despair. Supernatural hope means that it's not simply hope for the salvation in heaven, but to hope that the Lord will give us the means as we struggle in this world. The sense of abandonment even by the church, because of the voices of dissent. When we observe the state of current affairs, contemporary society, the martyrs of the church that nowadays is happening in Syria, for example, everything can bring us, is an easy way to bring and to feel for us prone to discouragement. However, although the many winds of false doctrine assailing the church, they will never prevail, as we are confident in the words of our Lord. That does not mean that the sea is going to be always calm. The storms of persecution will always be there for the church militant, such as St. John Bosco predicted. Persecutions will be near at hand and will continue. But we need to be attached. What can we do? We have the words of St. Paul, that the church is the only pillar and bulwark of the truth. We should remain anchored to these two pillars of the Blessed Eucharist and devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Fighting our own salvation, the spiritual battle of each one of us, in fear and trembling. Therefore, we will have then a firm faith that will help us to see the small signs of hope that the Lord sends us every single day. A sense of discouragement, a sense of despair will not help us. However, we need to be, I think this gospel is a consolation for each one of us to show that it does not depend on our means, but the good Lord is in charge. See, St. John Bosco, even though he could see all of that happening, he was a great saint in the church, who built plenty of schools, helped the poor, helped the orphans, etc. He was not discouraged. He knew about these two pillars, the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Most Blessed Eucharist. We need to see then the small signs of hope that the Lord sends us every day. Why then are you fearful, O ye of little faith, says the Lord. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.